Good morning. So last Sunday, as I was sitting in the pew, I realized, and I find it so interesting, that whether we're 10 people here, or 20, or 30, or 70, we fill this building with sound. And the music that we sing goes everywhere. We might each feel that we are kind of frail with our own voices, and that I don't sound that good, I can't really sing, whatever. But when we gather together and rejoin our voice, connect them with everybody else's, it's a beautiful thing. So today I invite you to sing with whatever voice you have, as we join together in worship. So I'd invite you to open your books to the worship hymnal number 6, here in this place, and stand if you're able. Good morning again, and welcome to this, the fourth Sunday of Lent. And as you know, this time in our church calendar has a little bit of a different focus than our regular Sundays. And each year, we are given some material that helps us focus our attention on a certain theme. This year, we are invited to go deeper into our understanding, to question in a deeper way, and to deepen our relationship with God. So the writers of this material started writing all this at the beginning of all this COVID stuff a year ago. So suddenly, this wilderness of Lent became very real, as they too were kind of stripped of the usual ways of doing things. So their process of going deeper into scripture and into the stories has given us the resources for this year's Lent. You have seen the visual down here that was created by members of the Music and Worship Committee. And you can see the cross-section of the layers that are below the surface. So symbolically, it shows that there is so much more beneath the surface. There is a lot more to discover if we are willing to dig deeper. Have you given up something for Lent? Have you added something for Lent? Have you marked this time in any specific way? We've been invited in the first 3 weeks to a deeper relationship with God in week one, to a deeper commitment in week two, to deeper wisdom in week three, and today we are called to deep healing. The focus statement, as it's printed in your bulletin, the wilderness confronts us with our vulnerability and exposes our wounds and our needs. We are called to deep healing by trusting in God, who calls us in love. So just one thing I want to mention, and if you have something you want shared in the congregation and you're not able to be here, for those of you who are listening online, please feel free to text me. I do have my phone here today, or someone else that you see that's sitting there that can pass the message along. Please feel free to do that, and we will make sure it is shared to the congregation as well. So another thing that came to my mind this week is to encourage us all to do the things that we can do. I know most of you already know this, and you already do this, but sometimes I wonder if, because of we hear all the things we can't do, that we've forgotten what we can do. You all have access to a phone. You all have a church directory. And I would encourage you this week to reach out to someone by phone. You can send a card. Reach out to people that are within our church family. I would encourage you this week, perhaps there's something else that you feel a little bit more comfortable with, like we are allowed to meet in a restaurant, and perhaps that face-to-face is what you need with someone at this time. It's what your comfort level is. We are all involved in the work of caring. We are all involved in being the church, and we're all involved in spiritual care. We each see different people. We connect differently and uniquely with each one. Use that uniqueness to bring hope and light to others. We're glad you've come here this morning, that you've chosen this to worship here or to worship at home and listening. Our hope is that something that is said here or prayed about or some song that you hear will resonate with you and will give you hope for your next week's journey. I am going to invite you to turn to the bulletin to our call to worship. And we'll read it as it is printed. The wilderness is without and within. It too is part of God's path, though we fear wild, barren places, as did the people of old. When the people became impatient, asking, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" God answered by bringing healing. In our barren places, God calls us to wholeness. Even when we cannot see beyond the danger, isolation, and need, we forget that God is already at work in these difficult, painful places. Just as Moses lifted up the servant in the wilderness, so must the chosen one be lifted up, that whoever believes may have eternal life. For we are what God has made us, created in Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. We call out to you as you call us to deep healing. Let's pray together. God of our lives, of our days, our nights, God of this both peaceful world and warring world, God of great understanding and love and patience for all. We are here as a delightful mix of people, not one the same as the other. We are here with our unique differences. For all who hear this today, we pray your peace and blessing. For all who are here with a questioning sort of faith and feel like they have way more questions than answers, we pray your peace and blessing. For those who've come with confidence in their understanding, we pray your peace and blessing. For those who plant and water and nurture seeds and plants, and relationships, we pray your peace and blessing. For all who've come with heavy hearts, we pray your peace and blessing. We pray your blessing on all that we are as we worship here together on this day. In your name, together as one, we pray. Amen. So it's time, we're going to do a little bit more singing, so I'd invite you to turn to number 377 in Healer of Our Every Ill, and please stand if you're able.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, you tell us that you love us, and we have to believe it. Sometimes we feel it, sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes we get absorbed in the events that seem to overwhelm us. Nonetheless, you do love us. And you constantly reach out to us in love to communicate with us. Help us to have ears that are open, eyes that are open, hearts that are open and receptive. That the struggles that we face would not serve to shut us down, to close us in, to hem us in away from you, away from the one who truly cares, who truly knows, and longs for our wholeness. As we are, we humbly come before you. You've heard what we have sung, you've heard what we've prayed, and you've also heard the voice deep within us, the cry of our hearts. Hear that cry, we pray. Speak your peace into each one here today, whether sitting in the pews or at home, listening, for those listening on the radio, we ask that your Holy Spirit would connect to people. We've seen revivals before in other people, in other places, in other times. But this time, in these days, all we seem to see is pain, fear, anxiety. Give us eyes that see you. Give us the trust that we need to lean into you and thereby experience more of you. We remember with sadness all of those that we have lost throughout this year of COVID as we mark this 1 year anniversary, which does, in fact, raise far more questions than answers. We bring to you all of the sorrowing, all of those filled with so much pain, wondering why, what is happening, where is this going, where are you in these times? We pray for them. And as we pray for them, we remember our other prayers, simple prayers that you have heard and answered. We've prayed for our young adults and we have given them words of encouragement and we lift them again to you today because this is a very significant time. As they near the end of the school year, wondering what's ahead, wondering what will happen in the summer, wondering if they will even finish their tasks appropriately. Give them strength that they, as youths, would not grow weary. Your promise is that they will rise up with wings as eagles. That's what we pray for. Renewed strength, not only in themselves, but renewed because they wait on you. They trust in you. We trust in you. Even in the face of our sister congregations that have closed and that are preparing to close, that have shared the testimony of your faithfulness throughout the years and with tears say, now the doors will be closing. We pray for them. Heal their wounds. Give them strength to continue on. Show them the journey forward. That a closed door would not mean this is the end. Help us to have faith that sees beyond this. In your time, perhaps this is their wilderness journey. We pray for all of the churches in Swift Current, but especially Christ the Redeemer today. And we remember Eigenheim Mennonite Church and their pastor. We pray for Camp Elam as well as the other camps in Saskatchewan, the challenges that they have, and the desire for outreach to teach and sustain and encourage so many young people and families. In a time when things have been closed for so long and so much suffering has gone unspoken, unnoticed, give us, the church, your body, the strength, the love, and all of the resources that we need so that when the doors open, we will be there and ready and able to serve as your servants, to serve our neighbors, our brothers, and our sisters. And not only ourselves, but we remember all those around the world suffering the abuses, human rights abuses, rights that we should have simply for being human. Help us here in Swift Current, in our small neighborhoods, to realize when we ourselves are guilty of abusing our neighbors in thought or in deed. We pray this as our confession, and we pray as you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Before we started back with our services, our in-person services, a lot of people contributed to the services with recordings of scripture and of singing. And then they were put together for the service by Ken and added to our recorded services. So yesterday morning I was wondering, like, could we use some of that in our service and add to what we are doing here now? So I called Ken, and gratefully Ken and Ike have worked together to make this possible. The song that you'll be hearing this morning is a recording of Joanne Rickert singing and Pearl accompanying her. And the song is "Nothing is Lost on the Breath of God." And if you'd like, you can follow along. It's 121. In the Sing the Story.
Oh.
Our first scripture this morning is from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. The Israelites had to go around the territory of Edom. So when they left Mount Hor, they headed south towards the Red Sea. But along the way, the people became so impatient that they complained against God and said to Moses, "Did you bring us out of Egypt just to let us die in the desert? There's no water out here, and we can't stand this awful food." Then the Lord sent poisonous snakes that bit and killed many of them. Some of the people went to Moses and admitted, "It was wrong of us to insult you and the Lord. Now please ask him to make these snakes go away." Moses prayed, and the Lord answered, "Make a snake out of bronze and place it on top of a pole. Anyone who gets bitten can look at the snake and won't die." Moses obeyed the Lord, and all those who looked at the bronze snake lived, even though they had been bitten by the poisonous snakes.
The second scripture reading is from John chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of today's message, Thinking The cure is worse than the disease. And we all have felt that throughout this last year and wondered, isn't it worse to have to go through this whole year of being isolated like prisoners in our own homes, having to wear masks, having to wash our hands continuously, for those who don't like to wash their hands, and all sorts of other things that we have had to let go of, not being able to share meals together. When was the last time we used the basement of this church? The dishes downstairs are crying out to be used for a potluck. I have to use my slow cooker again just to make sure it still works after a whole year. And we wonder to ourselves, oh, just let us have the disease already and be done with it. This is too much. We don't have that much endurance, it seems. But I think we only gain endurance as we are forced to practice it. We never choose it. Even those who like to practice certain habits for Lent, they find that it is a little bit taxing, it's stretching, and we wonder, is it really worth it? Am I gaining anything? Am I getting anything? Is this any good? Am I wasting my time? Some of you like to watch TV. We, some of us like to watch TV, and some of us like to watch Survivor. There's one, vigorous head nodding. And Survivor is a show where people, a certain crew of individuals, voluntarily go out into a wilderness unknown to them, and they are forced to find ways to survive out in the wilderness. And those of us watching from our couches in our living rooms think they're crazy, and it's good entertainment. There's another show, less well known, also called Naked and Afraid. Yeah, that's the name of the show, Naked and Afraid. And these people, again, single individuals, this is not a group this time, they actually give up their clothing, that which would protect them, and they go out into some wilderness somewhere just to test themselves, to see if they can survive. Well, you've heard the phrase, don't go there. Many of us would say that to these folks, wherever they have been sent. But even that phrase, which is used usually in conversation, and it's used for times when you're broaching an uncomfortable subject, or you want to ask some questions that are going to make the hearer uncomfortable, and you're always warned, don't go there. Don't start talking about that. That subject is off limits. Don't go there. And so for many of us, even the idea of going into an emotional or sometimes physical wilderness is repulsive. We don't want to go there. We don't voluntarily look for ways to go into an emotional, a spiritual, or a physical wilderness. But it happens. Sometimes it happens because of the choices that we make. We make wrong choices, and then we find ourselves wandering around, much like these children of Israel. They were in the wilderness. God had brought them out of slavery into a new place. And in this new place, they felt uncomfortable, they didn't like it, and they didn't trust God, and there they complained, which made the wilderness journey that much worse for themselves. How many times don't we make our own lives worse by our own emotional human response to the things that we find happening to us, the things in life. And it becomes a wandering in the wilderness. I want to address a little issue. This is sort of a tangent, and yet you'll find it connected. But I just want to put it out there, because I often hear the phrase, God has a purpose. And this phrase is often misused. God does have a purpose. God has a purpose for all of us. And God's purpose for all of us, this is my conclusion, by the way. God's purpose for all of us is shalom, wholeness. And that wholeness is spiritual wholeness, emotional wholeness, physical and social wholeness. It's all of these elements. That's what God longs for all of us. Sometimes when we use the phrase, oh, God has a purpose, we understand or misunderstand the events in our lives. We misunderstand the wilderness wanderings, or we misinterpret events that happen to us or to other people. So someone who's going through a very difficult struggle, rather than showing kindness and warmth and compassion, we give them a slap by saying God has a purpose. Really, it's not a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's painful. Oh, God has a purpose for it. Stop complaining, stop feeling bad. And then we say that God is a God who gives us pain and sorrow and struggle without the compassion. That's misinterpreting events and misinterpreting the God of love. All of these verses in John keep repeating God is love. It's because of love that God sent God's Son. Love is the overwhelming and undergirding emphasis of everything. God's purpose is wholeness. So when we say God has a purpose, his purpose is wholeness and healing. In the midst of, and in spite of, in the face of, and even during the most painful wilderness times. So let's keep that as kind of the filter through which we understand these other things. We don't want to go into the wilderness. Don't go there because we feel or fear being exposed. Being exposed. And that was, in fact, in the focus statement, top of your bulletin. We don't want to be exposed. Everything shown. What is going to be exposed? We had the question yesterday, actually, in the AGM, A something. Those meetings that we had all day yesterday, we were asked, how has the pandemic exposed something in your church, in your congregation? And we don't like that feeling of exposure. Look at Adam and Eve in the garden. They are the typical human specimens. And what happened to them? They were exposed. Suddenly, in exposure, we are feeling vulnerable. Everything is seen. We're feeling overwhelmed. We have no power. We have fear, and we realize we have no control. So think about your wilderness experiences, whether you are in the midst of it or have gone through it or even expect it to come. The exposure or that fear or the resistance to that exposure tells us, don't go there. This is a bad thing. And like Adam and Eve, we need to ask ourselves, what does this exposure demonstrate? What does it expose? It shows that we actually desire, number one, to be like God, because we want to control things. I want to control my life. I want to control the circumstances around me. I want to control my family. We want to be gods. That's what Adam and Eve wanted. Second, we want to know good and evil. You know these phrases, they're like what the serpent said to Eve when she was thinking about going for that fruit. We will know good and evil. I know what's good for me. I know what's not good for me. And this discomfort is not good for me. My life needs to be comfortable and happy, and my family needs to be safe and comfortable and well off, and oh, and our congregation needs to be good and strong and growing and moving ahead and an example to all other churches in Swift Current. These kinds of thoughts or even deep-seated feelings, we know what's good for us. Third thing, we want to pursue what is pleasing to the eye, what is pleasurable, what's good and happy. Those are the things we want to go after. None of these are found in the wilderness, by the way. None of these things. And the last thing, four, we want to gain an advantage for ourselves. These are the reasons underlying the fear and the vulnerability and feeling overwhelmed, the fear of being exposed in the wilderness, and that's why we won't go there. But it's right in the wilderness where God says, here I am. I am in your wilderness. Whether it is because of something you have done, or whether it is because of circumstances that happen in your life, whether it's because of illness, a natural breaking down of the body, or because of job loss, or there are so many kinds of wilderness, as many as there are people here, those are the varieties of wilderness experiences there are. And the reasons that we resist going into that wilderness, or think it's bad when we are in it, but God is there in the wilderness. And when the children of God cried out to God and said, you've got to get rid of these snakes, God said, here I am. Look on me. Not pull yourselves up by the bootstraps, get the job done. No, look. Look on me. Rather than feeling exposed or interpreting the experience of wilderness as exposure, think of it as revealing. That wilderness experience reveals something that maybe we wanted to hide. I was thinking about that just this morning as we were singing, as I'm thinking about this visual, realizing there are things inside of me. I want to keep them down. I want not to pay attention to them because they're painful. They're emotional. Even as we came out, we pray back there. And I was praying and I said to Joy, oh, I've got to be careful because every time I pray, I want to cry. Crying is bad. Therefore, resist crying. That's one of my layers down there. And the more that I press it down, what happens? The harder it gets. Those layers down there in the bottom should be really good and hard, and it's hard to get down to it. But God is there in the wilderness experience. The wilderness experience can reveal what is way down there that keeps us from deep healing. God wants to go there and shine a light there. That's what this passage in John said. That's where the light is. The light came in. Shine light on where that wound is the deepest, the oldest. That deep, deep, deep root of bitterness. Those words that were spoken years ago that still rankle. Events that occurred that you just can't get past. all of our wilderness experiences revealed by this light. And we love the darkness because we want to hide things, maybe the things that happen to us or our own actions, or maybe even our reactions. We want to hide them. Turn the lights off. Don't look at that. Oh, no, no, it's nothing. Let's pretend it doesn't exist. God says, that's where I want to go. I want to go there with you. Don't resist it. Recognize this is a revealing for the sake of healing. I long for your healing. The Son of Man came not to condemn, but to save, not to judge the world, but out of love for all of us. This wilderness experience is love-inducing. This is the opportunity for God to demonstrate God's love. The purpose for our lives is God's demonstration of God's love. The wilderness experiences are where we can go deeper in God's love because God longs for our deeper healing. When the light shines, I'm thinking about a dentist's light. When was the last time you sat in a dentist's chair, right? And then they put you so your feet are in the ceiling and your head is on the floor and your mouth is wide open. Talk about vulnerable. And then the dentist comes and he's got this light on his forehead and he's like, zoom, you can't see anything. You're utterly exposed. But he is looking in for your deep healing. Where are those cavities? Where is the pain coming from? Where is it? The dentist is not doing this to say, aha, I knew you've been eating candy. No, God isn't doing that either. God isn't, aha! God's purpose for us is, ah. Just like that. How simple is that? It's just the difference of an A. It's not, aha. It's just, ah. Let your shoulders relax. We don't need to resist the love of God, the light of God. We resist and we run away because of our deeds. But God's purpose is love and deep healing and full shalom, healthy living for all of us, physical, emotional, social. Shalom. May we be able to recognize and receive that healing from God in our wilderness. Amen.
Thank you, Lois, for your words this morning. And let's respond with number 493 in the blue hymnal. And please stand if you're able. I heard the voice of Jesus say, thank you.
Please bow for the benediction. Though the barren lands of our lives, God is calling us to wholeness. Although we may not see this time as possibility, God is already at work. As we rest in the long nights of winter, a cosmic spark restores us. Look to Christ in faith, noticing the many ways his words and eyes and hands and feet brought healing. Go with the healing light of Christ. Amen.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.